Before all peoples today, a great issue for final determination has come. Stated in brief, that issue is this. Shall the world be ruled in righteousness by Christ, the enthroned King of Jehovah, or shall it be ruled by selfish, arbitrary dictators? To be sure, men cannot settle that issue, but soon the Lord will settle it, and every person must choose to take one side or the other and receive the consequences. The issue involves life and death. Therefore, the welfare of the people requires that they should be told the facts. Today, I speak to the American people who, for more than a century, have taken the lead as defenders of the freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and freedom of worship of Almighty God. All of these rights of men are now in grave jeopardy. The people need to hear and to give calm consideration to all the facts relating to the issue, and for that reason, an assembly such as this is of great importance. Those who object to or oppose such assembly and abortion of the facts are those who advocate rule by cruel dictators, and their opposition is because of their desire to keep the people in ignorance until the people are deprived of all liberty and are under the complete control of dictators. The press and the radio are means of easy and quick communication of the facts to the people, but it is a well-known fact that because of fear, many of these agencies are in the control of selfish interests and therefore refuse the publication of the facts. This in itself increases the peril of the people. Certain radio stations desiring to serve the public are now broadcasting this speech, but before it ends, there will be strenuous efforts to stop the broadcast and to deny the people the privilege of hearing. Such conduct is entirely un-American and very wrong. The American people are capable of hearing and considering the facts and are able to decide for themselves what they should do. I therefore earnestly urge upon the radio stations and all listeners to hear me through. The totalitarian rule is fully supported by ambitious politicians, entrenched predatory wealth, and extremely selfish religious leaders. Totalitarian rule is the product of Satan. God's kingdom is fully supported by all persons who love righteousness. And this is true without regard to race, color, or previous faith. Jehovah's Witnesses, for whom I speak, are wholly devoted to Jehovah God and Christ Jesus, and therefore give their unqualified support to God's kingdom. Newspapers of the religious element falsely charge that Jehovah's Witnesses are engaged in a campaign of hate. But that charge is entirely without foundation in truth. Jehovah's Witnesses are lovers of peace and righteousness. They do not hate men and are not fighting against men. As witnesses for the Lord, their sole mission is to inform the people and aid them to see what is for their best interest. They do hate wickedness and wicked schemes, which bring upon the people oppression and sorrow and which defame God's name. In this, they follow exactly in the steps of Christ Jesus, whom God has made the rightful ruler of the world, and concerning whom it is written in his word, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jehovah's Witnesses are true Christians, followers of Christ Jesus, and God's command to all such true Christians is that they must tell the truth, that the people of goodwill may learn the way to righteousness and life. No human agency can rightfully interfere with. Those who object to the full publication of the truth of God's word and the facts in support thereof, thereby declare themselves against Jehovah God and Christ Jesus his King. Honest men will lay aside all prejudice and calmly consider the facts. The issue now before the people is not new, but the time has come when that issue must be finally settled, and God has announced it shall be settled once and for all. Totalitarian rule raised its blighting head and began to exercise its destructive power 5,000 years ago. Such rule originated with Satan the devil, the foe of God and of honest men. As Christians, we must and do accept the Bible as God's word of truth given to man for his sure guide. Therein we find the truth recorded that the devil used Nimrod as the first dictator. Nimrod set up religion contrary to God's command, introduced traffic to control the products of men's labor, and employed politics to rule the people arbitrarily. From that time till now, every dictatorial government has employed religion, combined religion with commercial traffic and politics, to arbitrarily rule the people and to turn them against Jehovah God and his kingdom. God organized the people of Israel into a nation for himself, gave to that people his covenant and his law for their guidance that they might be a model nation. To them God gave the express command that they must hold themselves entirely aloof from religion and that they must obey God's law. In time, selfish men, as leaders of the Israelites, adopted a form of religion and employed it, together with commerce and politics, to control the people and turn them away from God. The Pharisees and the doctors of the law became religious leaders, ruled the people arbitrarily, and persecuted every one of God's true witnesses. Jesus denounced religion and religionists, declaring the same to be instruments of the devil. Then the Jews fell under the arbitrary dictatorial rule of Rome, and the religious clergy took the side of the dictator of Rome as against Jesus, the Son of God. When those religious clergymen were demanding the lifeblood of Jesus, the Roman governor said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Those religionists cried out in answer, "We have no king but Caesar," thus rejecting Jesus whom God had sent to them. The people of Israel were ruled by the iron hand of Rome, dictator, and Israel's clergymen gave allegiance to and supported the dictator, abandoned God and his work, took away the freedom of the people. In the presence and hearing of those clergymen, Jesus said to the people, "If you continue in my work, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if I make you free, then you shall be free indeed." Thus it is settled that true freedom comes by full obedience to Christ Jesus. Exactly a similar condition obtains today. Christ Jesus, the world's rightful ruler, has come again, and Jehovah has enthroned him. His rule has begun while the devil still operates through his agencies on earth. In Christendom, the leaders have turned from God, have become entirely religious, and are against God and his kingdom. In every country where dictatorial rule obtains, religious leaders support the dictator, and dictators declare their violent opposition to Jehovah God and his King Christ Jesus. Now the Lord has sent forth his witnesses to tell the truth of and concerning his kingdom and of his purpose, to the end that the people may learn that their only means of safety is by serving Christ, the King of Jehovah. Therefore, all dictators and their allies bitterly oppose those who serve God and who advertise his king and kingdom. Satan, the devil, caused the downfall of man, brought sickness and death upon the human race. That was the beginning of religion. Then God gave his word of promise that in due time he would redeem man and would set up a righteous government for the rule of the world, and that all men who would choose to serve him and his king should receive life everlasting and dwell forever in peace. That government is a theocracy, because everything thereof is done in harmony with the will of Jehovah. All of his laws and ways are righteous and true. In opposition to Jehovah God, and in direct contrast to his righteous kingdom, the devil brings forth an arbitrary, dictatorial, totalitarian rule of the people, which is unrighteous and desperately wicked, and which denies the people the right of peaceable assembly, freedom of worship, and freedom of speech. The devil is the mimic God. His dictatorial rule in the earth is a mockery of Jehovah God and a blasphemy of God's holy name. He is set up for that purpose, and to turn the people against God and his kingdom, and to plunge the whole race into everlasting destruction. All people that now willingly give their allegiance to the devil's totalitarian rule are certain to be destroyed at Armageddon because God has so decreed. The only place of safety and freedom and of life for the people is by turning to and giving their entire allegiance to the kingdom under Christ. Knowing this, the devil desperately attempts to keep the people in ignorance of these vital truths, because it's the only way that he can lead them into destruction and destroy their freedom of life. The issue is therefore of life and death. For the benefit of all persons who desire righteousness, I now submit the indisputable facts. In doing so, I am not moved by hatred of any man, but am moved by loving obedience to Almighty God and by an unselfish desire to do good unto all men. Therefore, I ask the radio managers of stations broadcasting this speech to permit the entire speech to be heard without interruption, because your life is involved and the life and liberty of each listener is involved. If it appears that the facts when spoken may shock the susceptibilities of some religious leaders, ask yourselves this question: which is more important, the feelings of a few selfish men or the liberties and lives of countless millions? The loss of liberty means ultimately the loss of everything. What already obtains in continental Europe is moving stealthily and with rapidity against America. For this reason, I cite as apt examples the European condition. Italy set up a fascist government with Mussolini, an avowed atheist, as dictator. And he has excluded from that land every witness of Jehovah God and supporter of Christ's kingdom. Shortly after Mussolini became dictator, he entered into an agreement with the Pope, the leading religionist on earth, by which temporal power was granted to the Vatican, and Mussolini became a supporter of the Catholic organization and of Catholic action, and he is a religionist now and against God and against Christ. The Italian dictator prosecuted a cruel war of conquest against and destroyed the helpless people of Abyssinia. That unwarranted action of the dictator, the Pope fully supported. Now Mussolini persecutes the Jews who have made their homes in Italy. And in that wrongful act, he is supported by the hierarchy. For more than a year, a bloody and unrighteous war has been prosecuted in Spain by rebels against the government. That war of rebellion, which has brought cruel death to many innocents, both Mussolini and the Pope have fully supported. Japan is now carrying on a wicked war against China. In that war, Japan has the support of the Pope, and at his instance, Japan has excluded or has denied Jehovah's Witnesses the privilege of bearing testimony to his kingdom. Fascism, Nazism, and communism have all been the same thing, because all are for totalitarian rule, and all are against God and against his kingdom. All persecute the faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This evidence is cited to show the deadly conflict between fascism and freedom. In Germany, the common people are peace-loving. The devil has put his representative Hitler in control, a man who is of unsound mind, cruel, malicious, and ruthless, and who acts in utter disregard of the liberties of the people. Together with his backers, he rules with an iron hand. He cruelly persecutes the Jews because they were once Jehovah's covenant people and bore the name of Jehovah, and because Christ Jesus was a Jew. Hitler has imprisoned thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses, the true followers of Christ Jesus, who have been guilty of nothing but advertising the kingdom of Christ. Many of those witnesses have been foully murdered while in Hitler prison. In the persecution of Jews and of Christians, and in his arbitrary rule, Hitler has had the unqualified support of the Roman Catholic hierarchy. I here read into the record an article over the signature of a Catholic priest of Berlin, and which was published in the newspaper The German on May the 29th, 1938, which amongst other things says, quote, "There is now one country on earth where the so-called Jehovah's Witnesses are forbidden. That is Germany. The Catholic Church called upon Bruning to upset and suppress them. When Hitler came to power, and the German Catholic Episcopate repeated their request, Hitler said, these so-called Bible students or Jehovah's Witnesses are troublemakers. I consider them quacks. I do not tolerate that the German Catholics should be besmirched in such a manner by this American Judge Rutherford. I dissolve Jehovah's Witnesses in Germany. Their property I dedicate to the people's welfare. I will have all their literature confiscated. And the priest adds, bravo. However, in the American Episcopate, he says, even Cardinal Mundelein is not able to have Rutherford's books taken away. End of quote. Hitler and the Pope entered into a contract for mutual operations and have worked together in Germany. When the Nazis marched into and seized Austria and destroyed the freedom of that people, there the Vatican betrayed the Austrians and fully supported Hitler in his ruthless act. Today, Hitler and Mussolini, the arbitrary dictators, threaten the peace of the whole world. They are fully supported in their destruction of freedom of the Roman Catholic hierarchy, which fact is shown by the press of New York of this day. The communist dictator arbitrarily rules Russia. That country has put up a wall against all witnesses for the kingdom of God. The Catholic press tries to induce the people to believe that the Vatican is against communism. But the facts show that the hierarchy is willing to make an arrangement with any dictatorial or totalitarian power that will permit the Vatican to act as a kind of a super spiritual government and have the political element do its bidding. Note this, which appears in the New York Times in July 26 this year. Quote, Mr. Forbes, executive secretary of the Communist Party, proposed mutual cooperation between communism and the Roman Catholic hierarchy in state affairs. In answer thereto, the Pope, acting through his cardinal and authoritative representative in Paris, made reply to the Communist Party in these words, if this gesture of the outstretched hand from your side expresses the wish to become better acquainted with your Catholic brothers, in order to give better respect to the religion which inspires them to their convictions, their feelings, their works, then the Church will not refuse to carry out this work of enlightenment, and you will recognize that this can contribute greatly to the happiness of all. To such generous offer from the Pope, the Communist Party responded to these words, the outstretched hand of the Communist Party to the Catholic people remains outstretched, and this is further supported by communications releases distributed in New York City yesterday. These are not lying statements, as the Catholic press of America generally declares concerning all statements I make, but are plain truths which cannot be successfully contradicted. They are stated not because of hate, but in order that the honest people, Catholics and non-Catholics, may see that the kingdom of God under Christ is violently opposed by the greatest religious institution on earth, which falsely and blasphemously claims to represent God and Christ, and which now works desperately against the kingdom of God and against the interest of the people. That it is the purpose of the religious organization named to destroy American freedom, I shall now prove, and in support thereof, I quote from a letter of a Catholic priest, O'Brien of Syracuse, New York, published in the Aurora as follows, quote, this land belongs to us by every right. Long enough have we compromised on every important question. Now we demand what is really ours, and we're going to have it, peacefully, honestly, if made. If necessary, we're ready to fight and die for it. We want, as a cabinet members, children of the Holy Mother Church, holding important positions in the entire structure. We are ready, prepared for 1940. All institutions must be wiped out or placed under the protection of our hierarchy. All loyal children of the Catholic Church are to assist our worthy president with all their strength to see that the individuals comprising the United States Supreme Court shall obey the president's injunction, and if necessary, we will change, amend, or blot out the present constitution so that the president may enforce our humanitarian program on all phases of rights as laid down by our saintly Pope to the Holy Mother Church in the Pope. That traitorous statement has never been repudiated by the hierarchy. Therefore, the hierarchy has fully approved it. No one has ever tried to interfere with Catholics practicing their religion. The official hierarchy has taken advantage of the liberty granted by the Constitution of the United States to use their religious organization as a political machine to gain control of the nation and to destroy the liberties of the people. Many honest and enlightened Catholics, seeing that the Vatican is bent on political conquest of America, have forsaken that religious organization and have taken their stand on the side of the law and righteousness. An ex-Jesuit priest of New York, Dr. E. Boyd Barrett, recently published his book entitled Rome Stoops to Conquer. And from that book, I quote the following. Pope Pius XI has given the best of his singular ability to the supervision and direction of the Catholic campaign in America. War is being waged in the greatest struggle of the Church's history. The conquest of America is the supreme objective at which he aims. Pius is well aware that the Catholic Church can never hope again to dominate the civilized world until America kneels beaten and penitent at her feet. Characteristic of his strategy in guiding American Catholics in Catholic action, he has taught them to enlarge and remodel the Catholic press. Catholic action partakes of politics and is a political penetration and infiltration into the political world of a new force and agency. Cardinal Pacelli, on behalf of His Holiness, urged on the Knights of Columbus to rally Catholic manhood as necessary for the practical solution of those problems of social and civil life. In 1930, Alfred E. Smith announced his belief in the American doctrine of absolute separation of church and state. Pius XI definitely repudiated the absolute separation heresy of Smith and enlarged upon the desirability of union and association between church and state. The Pope said, governments can assist the church greatly in the execution of important office if in laying down their ordinances they take account of what is prescribed by divine and ecclesiastical law, and if penalties are fixed for offenders. A phase of the present-day Catholic action is the urging of Catholics to throw themselves into politics. Catholic leaders do not advocate a separate political party. The Church prefers to control legislators rather than parties and to avoid the odium and expense of running a distinct organization. But the Church wants plenty of high offices for her children. The most sensational use of political power to forge a Church issue was that of Archbishop Curley, when he threatened to present administration and President Roosevelt in particular. When he took upon himself to tell the President what he should do and to threaten him with political extinction if he did otherwise, then Archbishop Curley was acting not merely as an ordinary politician, but as a political dictator. It seems to be the policy of the Church here to maintain intimate relationship with politicians and with state employees. As regards the latter, the police are first in favor with the Church, and that having them in their thousands, in her tow, she, the Church, can all the more easily command politicians. Who can place a limit to the Catholic objective in this country? Reopen diplomatic relations with Rome? Though gratified with such a concession, why should Catholics be content with that? Accord to them the right of exclusive censorship over books, plays, amusements, and press? The Church would accept such offers without giving thanks for it, for she would regard it as her exclusive right to enjoy it. Amend the Constitution so as to allow state legislators to apportion public monies to the support of Catholic schools and institutions, the Church would gradually admit that a long-delayed obligation had been met for the country. Go further and amend the Constitution so as to recognize the jurisdiction of her ecclesiastical courts and establish the Catholic Church as the official Church of America. At this point, the Church would begin to relax and smile with content. But still she would demand more and more. She would not ask for any measures to be taken against the Protestant denomination as long as they did not criticize her across her path or encourage Freemasonry. Protestant sects would be tolerated and treated in a kind way, subject to what she would consider necessary and reasonable restrictions. Never was the Catholic Church in any country in the world so, since Christendom began, so rich, so highly organized, so influential, so loyally soldiered by her subjects as she is today in the United States. End of Dr. Boyd's quote. That is plain language and strong proof that the hierarchy in America is working hand in glove with the fascists to grab control of the nation and to take away all the liberties of the people. I now submit the proof showing the hierarchy putting into practice in this country what Dr. Barrett says they intend to do. On September the 11th last, I delivered an address at London, which was broadcast to many countries. More than 100 radio stations in America broadcast that speech, face the facts. To prevent the people from hearing the facts, Catholic Action flooded many radio stations with threatening letters, and some stations, because of fear, yielded to their demands. In many places in the United States, Christians had rented public halls, installed wireless equipment, they are peaceably assembled to hear the speech and to worship God in spirit and in truth. Catholic Action tried to prevent such assemblies and succeeded in a few instances. At Chicago, where most of the public officials are Catholic, dominated by a cardinal, the Navy Pier Auditorium was leased for the Convention of Jehovah's Witnesses, and everything was in readiness when Cardinal Mundelein's representative demanded the cancellation of the lease and the prevention of this Christian assembly. Public officials yielded to that demand. At Rochester, New York, Commissioner McFarland rented to Jehovah's Witnesses the City Hall for their convention. 2 days before the convention opened, the Catholic priest John Randall, acting under command of the bishop, demanded that the city council cancel the lease and shut out Jehovah's Witnesses and prevent their peaceable assembly, and the cancellation was made, and for 1 day this hall was closed against that Christian body. Then an application was made to Justice Voorhees, who issued an order of court requiring the hall to be open, and it was done. Ottawa, Canada, the Coliseum was engaged for this convention of Christians. 10 days later, notice was served on Jehovah's Witnesses by the Board of Control that the use of the Coliseum is granted subject to there being no utterance made against any church or religious denomination are those connected with churches or religious denominations. At Little Rock, Arkansas, the city council, at the instance of the Catholic Bishop Morris and his organization of Knights of Columbus, prevented the peaceable assembly of Jehovah's Witnesses in the public park for worship and to listen to the London lecture. At Colorado Springs, the Catholic clergy and other politicians signed a petition falsely charging that Rutherford is against Christianity and all it stands for, and the American flag and all the ideals it stands for, and thereby induced the radio station to cancel its broadcast contract and the press to publish that libelous statement. Many other radio stations in the chain were bullied and threatened. As to the effect thereof, I quote a letter from a radio manager, which is a sample of many others addressed to the Watchtower Agency. Quote, "We regret to advise that due to the prevalence of Catholicism in this territory, we must refrain from taking the broadcast." End of quote. Many radio stations were threatened by Catholic priests if they did broadcast the lecture. At New Orleans, the Coliseum Arena was leased for the assembly and convention of these Christian people to worship God and to hear the London speech. At the instance of the Catholic hierarchy, the doors of the arena were locked and the literature of Jehovah's Witnesses withheld from them, and they were prevented from assembling. Another hall was then engaged, and Catholic Action succeeded in having that hall closed to Jehovah's Witnesses. A third hall was taken, and while a local speaker was delivering a Bible lecture, the audience was intimidated by a squad of police under the command of one McNamara. The fourth hall was rented, and Catholic police squad stopped the installation of telephone wires in that building, thus prevented the assembly of Jehovah's Witnesses to receive the London speech. Then the Jockey Club outside of the city limits was leased for the peaceable assembly and worship by these Christians. under pressure from the Catholic hierarchy, the parish sheriff prevented the installation of the telephone wires and the use of that place for assembly. Then, as a last resort, a private open airlock was taken. And there on Sunday, September the 11th, a body of Christian people assembled peaceably and to worship God and to hear the London Address. Electrical equipment had been installed. A squad of police under the command of McNamara was on the ground before the audience arrived. McNamara, under the direction of the Catholic hierarchy, stepped forward and excitedly cried out to the assembled audience, "Stand back!" Then turning to his police squad, he gave this command, "Men, when the lecture starts, stop it, even if you have to break the electrical equipment. And the first man who interferes, shoot to kill." When the lecture began at London, McNamara himself cut the telephone wires, disabled the electrical equipment, and while he was doing so, the police squad stood with their hands on their guns, and thus the people again were forcibly prevented peaceable assembly, freedom of worship, and exercise of freedom of speech. Immediately following this high-handed and unlawful action of the Catholic, a newspaper of Catholic origin and published in that town by one Right Reverend Winhoven published the following statement, quote, "It is indeed a source of deep gratification that notwithstanding the persistent efforts of the Witnesses of Jehovah, their three-day convention in New Orleans was frustrated." Practically every large hall in the city was denied them. The chief of police and the sheriff of Jefferson Parish unhesitatingly stepped in and stopped effectively this insult to New Orleans. Today, the federal court is preventing a repetition of that unlawful act. And they'll probably keep quiet, but Winhaven won't publish that. The proof is therefore conclusive that the Catholic hierarchy was back of the unlawful action in breaking up a peaceable assembly of Christians gathered together for worship of Almighty God. This is further and conclusive proof that the hierarchy is against God and against his kingdom under Christ and is working in league with fascism to destroy the liberties of the American people. The hierarchy has bullied and bluffed and threatened and put fear into the public press and the owners of many radio stations to prevent the people from hearing the truth. Honest, sincere Catholics do not endorse such high-handed and unlawful action as they see, and thus seeing that the hierarchy has turned the organization into a political machine and is robbing the people and using the money to destroy their liberties, these honest Catholics are forsaking the hierarchy and turning themselves to God and to his kingdom. This action of honest Catholics greatly angers the hierarchy and their press and priest howl. Calmly now, consider the length to which fascist hierarchy rule has advanced in America. Catholic priests boldly declare that the government of the United States shall be seized in 1940. Threaten to compel the United States Supreme Court to obey the demands of the hierarchy. Threaten to amend and destroy the Constitution as best suits the convenience of the hierarchy, threatens Protestants with violence who dare oppose the hierarchy. The hierarchy, stated by Dr. Barrett, has been turned into a political machine which prefers to control legislators rather than to have a separate party and desire to have many important offices in the government. A Catholic bishop arrogantly threatens the President of the United States unless he conforms to the will of the hierarchy. The public press and many radio stations are browbeaten into silence as against the hierarchy's crooked work. Protestant clergy have been induced to remain silent. The Jews are frightened into submission and silence. Now the only class of men on earth who have faith and courage to tell the truth are persecuted, imprisoned, threatened, and their peaceful assemblies broken up, their freedom of worship and freedom of speech denied. Does it not appear that the liberties of the American people are about all gone? When the people are told the facts about a crowd that's operating under its cloak to steal their rights, the hierarchy howls and says, "Lies, put a gag in the mouths of those and do not permit them to speak." Honest Catholics and honest men of all faiths are against such high-handed action. Is it wrong to publish the truth concerning a bunch of hijackers that are robbing the people? No. Then is it wrong to publish the truth concerning a religious organization operating hypocritically and doing the same thing? Americans have heretofore been at liberty to express themselves freely on public matters. No sane man in America would desire to do the president any personal harm. But many sincere and honest Americans properly criticize the policy of the president, and the newspapers and the radio stations are not forbidden to publish such criticism. Is the hierarchy more sacred than, and does it have greater privileges than the President of the United States? By what right has Rome to tell Americans that they cannot publish the truth about the despoilers of the people? Shall honest men be gagged and compelled to remain silent while this bunch of hijackers destroy the liberties of the people? Above all, shall the people be denied their God-given privileges of peaceable assembly and freedom of worship of Almighty God and freedom of speech concerning his kingdom and of those who oppose it? Jehovah's Witnesses are not a sect and are not religions. They are Christians. They're made up of those who have come from Catholic, Protestant, Jews, and those outside of all religious organizations. They are men and women who love righteousness and truth and hate wickedness. They are not politicians. They are not kingdom builders, because God built kingdom. As John the Baptist was, so are Jehovah's Witnesses, a voice in the wilderness crying out to the people, warning them that their only means of escape, safety, and salvation is by placing themselves under Jehovah's King, Christ Jesus. It is written in the Word of God, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Protestants, Jews, many radio owners and others, by reason of fear of the Roman Catholic hierarchy, have been led into the snare of Satan, gagged and bound hand and foot. Jehovah's Witnesses and all others who love righteousness and who love God, now serve notice upon the fascist hierarchy, combine, that they will not, because of fear, yield to that totalitarian rule, and will not remain silent and refrain from testifying to God's kingdom. They believe and trust wholly in the Lord God, and him will they obey. Since the appearing of that hideous monstrosity, the totalitarian rule, the liberties of the people have rapidly vanished. Ever-increasing woes have come upon the nations. Among such woes and crimes are these, to wit: the rape of Abyssinia, the wanton slaughter of innocents in Spain, the cruel persecution of Jews and Christians in Germany and Italy, and now the unwarranted assault upon Czechoslovakia, and the malicious attempt to destroy the liberties of the people in Britain and America. When the storm of sanity, insanity, and tribulation has passed, the true history of the world will be written under sane conditions. It will then fully appear that the men more reprehensible and therefore chiefly responsible for such crimes and woes are the men who compose the Roman hierarchy, headed by the present Pope who inaugurated Catholic action. The head of the hierarchy appears to be an adept in getting in line with his political allies. Within a few hours after the fate of Czechoslovakia had been fixed with the consent of the Pope's allies, and in order to magnify the importance of the religious element of the alliance, the Pope calls upon the faithful Catholics to pray for peace. It did not seem to be advisable to him to pray for peace when Italy was murdering the Abyssinians, when the rebel Franco and other fascists were slaying and continued to slay thousands of innocents in Spain, nor when his friend Hitler grabbed Austria and drove out defenseless Jews and Christians. Now he prays that his ally Hitler may not be disturbed while stealing Czechoslovakia blind. For centuries it has been the desire of the head of the Catholic hierarchy to rule the world, as a spiritual overlord. That unsatisfied ambition has led the Vatican to stoop to the worst kind of politics to accomplish their wrongful and blasphemous purpose. When such conscienceless men, while carrying on their nefarious work, hypocritically claim to be the representatives of Jehovah, God, and Christ, they are guilty of the greatest blasphemy against God's name that has ever been uttered under the sun. Honest Catholics will now give heed to God's warning, flee from that religious makeshift and find rest and liberty and life under Christ the King. Christians fully realize that these are the last days, hence the time of great peril. In the scriptures it is written, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. All men shall be lovers of their own selves, boasters, covetous, proud, blasphemers, traitors, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. These words exactly describe the hierarchy combined. If the men of the hierarchy really loved God and his kingdom, they would not try to control the politics of the world and to destroy the liberties of the people. By trying to rule the world, the hierarchy denies the power of God to set up his kingdom as he has promised. The fact that they do practice a form of religion, claiming to serve God and at the same time oppose his kingdom and join with others to arbitrarily rule mankind, is proof conclusive that they are the enemies of man and of God, and the Lord admonishes the people to turn away from such. The fact that the fascist hierarchy claims the right to rule the world in the place of God's King Christ Jesus is also proof that such combination constitutes the abomination of desolation which God foretold would arise in these last days. To the honest people, the Lord says, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel, the prophet, standing where it ought not, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, that is, to the kingdom of God and of Christ. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor nor ever shall be. Seeing then that the liberties of the people are being taken away by that religious fascist combine which stands where it ought not to stand, claiming the right to rule the nations of the world, then all who would live must take heed to this admonition of the Lord and flee to God's kingdom. Men cannot stop the onward march of archipassis now. It has gone too far. The Lord is permitting it to come to a climax to serve his own purposes. Now the only possible place of safety is under the protection of Christ's kingdom, because God has declared his purpose to soon act and to completely destroy everything that opposes that kingdom. The fascist hierarchy presume that they shall now gain and forever control the world. When they think they have silenced completely the people that are for God's kingdom, then they will felicitate each other and say, we're at peace and in safety. Note then what the Lord says about this in Thessalonians. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travel upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Such disaster will befall them at Armageddon. Endure these facts, and for the encouragement of radio stations that do broadcast this speech in the public interest, I earnestly urge upon all listeners, Jehovah's Witnesses and all others, throughout America, who love liberty and righteousness, to immediately send letters to the radio stations to which you are listening, expressing your hearty approval of their broadcasting this speech. Let the radio stations know that there are yet many Americans who love the principles of freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, and freedom of worship, which are guaranteed by the American Constitution and commanded by the Most High God. Furthermore, I invite the radio stations that stand for American principles and who are against fascism to advise me by wire or letter that they are willing to again broadcast the truth for the benefit of the people. Let the fascist Catholic hierarchy know that this is the land of America and not Rome, that they may freely practice their religion here amongst those who like it, but that they cannot use their religious institution as a political machine turn over to the fanatical dictators, the American government, and take away all the liberties of the people. Catholic press persists in lying about me, saying that I'm engaged in a campaign of hate. But, together with others of Jehovah's Witnesses, we are fighting for the principles of righteousness which are loved by all honest people regardless of previous faith. What Jehovah God has commanded us to do, that we will do regardless of opposition. We are certain that the will of God is that a hypocritical religious organization shall not destroy freedom of worship and freedom of speech. For knowing this great day of crisis, when dictators would destroy people's rights, Jesus addressed himself to cruel religious leaders of all times. His words announced with the greatest force fixed principles of Jehovah, which now apply to the Roman Catholic hierarchy and to all others who use religion to further their selfish interests. He says to those religious leaders who are against God's kingdom under Christ, "Woe unto you, Catholic clergy hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye enter not in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Fill up ye then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Upon you shall come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth." Anarchists and Nazi dictators, with the aid and cooperation of the Roman Catholic hierarchy at Vatican City, are now wrecking continental Europe. They may, for a brief period of time, gain control of the British Empire and of America. And then God declares that he will act, and through Christ Jesus, his great executive officer and executor, will completely destroy all such organizations. Then the people who obey God and Christ shall survive and live forever in peace and happiness, and will fill the earth with their righteous people, all to the praise of Jehovah. Choose ye therefore whom you will serve. Shall we have fascist Catholicism, slavery, and death? Or shall we embrace Christ and his kingdom and receive true freedom and everlasting life? It is not within your power to stop the onward march of the wicked, but it is your privilege to flee to God and his kingdom under Christ and thus find security, refuge, and salvation. Let this warning be sounded now again in the language of God's prophet Jeremiah, that all who do not flee to and obey his King, Christ Jesus, shall suffer destruction at the battle of Armageddon, which is near at hand. Consider now briefly what God's kingdom means to the people. When Satan defied God to put men on earth who would remain faithful and true to Jehovah, he said to the devil, "Instead of destroying you now, I'll permit you to remain for a time, that I may have my name declared amongst all the nations, and then will I show you my power." God then declared his purpose, that in his due time he would redeem man and send Christ Jesus to set up his kingdom. God's purpose cannot fail. He said, "I have purposed it, I will also do it." He proceeds according to his own sovereign will. He sent Jesus to earth, who gave his life as a redemptive price for those human creatures who do prove their integrity to our God. Jesus instructed his followers that in God's due time, he would return and set up his kingdom of righteousness. Knowing that the kingdom of God is his means for blessing of the people, Jesus taught his followers to pray to Jehovah this prayer: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That means that God's will should be done on earth in his due time, and his will is always righteous. Christians and religionists still utter this prayer, but only true Christians sincerely desire the fulfillment of the prayer. They rely solely upon God and his King and kingdom. In 1914, Jehovah announced that his King was enthroned, and this is found in the 110th Psalm. Before destroying Jehovah according to his word, he causes his name to be proclaimed throughout the earth in order that all persons of goodwill toward him may hear and learn the truth and flee from religious organizations and find refuge and safety under the Lord's kingdom. That testimony is now being given. Only the devil could so violently oppose our testimony, and hence he uses his religious representatives to oppose it and to persecute God's witnesses. You people of goodwill have had all the sorrow you want to have. You desire to see righteousness rule in the earth, that you may dwell in peace with your children and your neighbors. You hate strife, war, and oppression. The Lord's kingdom will bring to pass the desire of all honest hearts for peace and prosperity. You believe that the God's word. Then hear what he says to you about his kingdom and his king. Quote, unto you a king is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Behold, a king shall rule in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. The Roman Catholic hierarchy have kept you in ignorance of these precious promises recorded in the Bible because they want to rule and to exploit you. When one calls attention to God's warning against our hypocrisy, deceit, and oppression practice in the religious systems, and to God's good promises to the obedient ones of mankind, then the hierarchy, having no reasonable or scriptural answer thereto, howl these words. Those things are all lies. The people should not read the Bible, but hear only what the Catholic priests say. These religious leaders robbed you of your money, your freedom of thought, and freedom of action, greatly oppress you. Christ alone can and will relieve you, as is written. He shall judge the poor of the people, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Which then will you choose? The devil's rule of fascist hierarchy? Or freedom under the righteous reign of Christ. Let those who want to see righteousness in the earth make this their declaration. We give thanks to Almighty God that he has brought to our attention his word of truth. We love righteousness and choose to serve Jehovah God and his King, Christ Jesus. In obedience to his commandment, we do now forsake hypocritical religious institutions. Turn to God and Christ his King. Henceforth we will seek righteousness and meekness as God has commanded, that we may receive protection, peace, and life everlasting, and that we may share in the vindication of God's name. We recognize that God's kingdom is a theocracy, which is holy, righteous, and true. And we delight to put ourselves under the Lord and gladly obey his righteous rule. Let all who endorse this declaration say, Aye.
Aye.